Subway everyday value means many mouth-watering pile-high favorites are $5 footlongs, like the fresh-toasted tempting meatball marinara and made-to-your-order BLT. The $5 footlong anthem rolls on only at Subway, where great everyday value lives. Subway, eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report. Hockey playoffs start this week. I need help, because as you know, I jump into the hockey thing for the playoffs. I don't follow the regular season. I'm not going to apologize for it. Fortunately for us, not on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, in studio, and fresh off a Morning Sports Center shift, John Buchagrass. What's happening?
Glad to be here. This is going to be big in Sarnia.
It's been long awaited. I don't know why it hasn't happened before now, but it's happened, and here you are.
I'll give it a hit in my hockey column, and so you're going to get a lot of traffic.
Yeah,
thank you. The Bucci bump.
Thank you. Scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the playoffs this year? Compared to other years?
I think it's a solid 8-9. This is a golden era for NHL hockey with Ovechkin and Crosby. We're in one of those waves of generational talents in the league. So when you get those kinds of guys, like the NBA has seen recently with LeBron and Wade, and you get this wave of special players that people just kind of assume happens all the time, but as we know, it doesn't happen very much. So we're in that wave. Hockey's a young man's game. Guys peak in their early 20s. So to have Ovechkin and Crosby and those guys in the league now, that's what makes it really fresh every year.
You've been at ESPN since when?
October 28th, 1996.
Okay, and you're probably not a ton of hockey guys on campus, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. You're one of the identifiable ones.
It's been a good niche for me, yes.
Last couple of years, have you felt a little bit of shift? People talking more hockey with you, more casual fans?
Yes, like I said, especially with Crosby and Ovechkin. We do, SportsCenter likes to focus on two or three guys and beat them over people's heads.
Yes.
And Ovechkin and Crosby are those guys right now. So at least we have those guys. The league got really old a couple of years ago before the lockout. You're talking Messier and Yzerman, guys in their mid-30s. The league was slow motion because of the clutch and grabbing. They gave the league a nice lube job. It got fast again and became a young man's game again.
And when the lockout happened, did you think it was unrecoverable?
No. I knew that the hockey fan, like the punk rock fan, is a small base but pretty intense. And it's an exciting sport. It's a great winter sport, especially it's a northern North American sport in places with dreadful weather. It's a good way to get through the winter, and those places respond. It's fun going to a game. It's fun to watch some fights. The Jumbotron's big. It's loud, and it's a good date night. So I knew in places where it's cold, it will always do well. In places where it's warm, it won't always do well.
It's a small base, but yet at the same time, the attendance numbers have been really, really good.
Yeah.
And if you compare them to NBA, you remove all the other stuff and you just look at the attendance and where it's going, it seems like the NHL is just in better shape.
Yeah, well, the 3-point games help that because it keeps everyone in it until late. Only a couple teams are out of it by February. And because you get those 3-point games, everyone stays in it. And then the last few weeks, no one can get in because of the 3-point games. So it kind of works perfectly in that respect.
Yeah, I went to a game, a Kings game 2 weeks ago, and I brought my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really fun. We went to a Kings-Ducks game. There was a fight. It was a shootout. And I forgot how brilliant the three periods thing is with the 20-minute intermissions, how much fun that is. Go stretch your legs twice, go get some food, some drinks.
Go on the concourse, have a beer, talk.
Yeah.
It's a great social game that way. The game is like it's like an Atlanta Braves game in the mid 90s. It's 2 hours and 9 minutes, so when it's gonna end every night, and it always ends in a win or a loss. It could go to a shootout, which is always fun. It has a little bit of that at the end. So yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, people were rooting for. I don't know if this happens all the time, but when it got to like 2 minutes left, I think somebody scored to tie it. And everybody was just rooting for the shootout at that point. I think they would have preferred the shootout over the Kings scoring to win the game.
Easily digestible for the average fan. Like fights. Why fights and shootouts are so popular with the fans, especially the kids, is that they are the two things that telefies the best. It's a hard game to follow in terms of flow for some people. You can see the puck. It's fine. But for some people don't understand the flow. But shootouts and fights televised well. People completely understand what's going on in those two situations.
The smartest thing I think they could do, and this is an idea the NBA should do too. Actually, Shane Battier came up with it. He called it the Stern Cup. But you cut down the games a little bit, and you have a cup in the middle of the season. Basically, what they accomplished with the Olympics this year, only it would be for the NHL. And I don't know if you have prize money for it, or if you have maybe you guarantee like a number two seed for whoever wins, or I don't know. But if there was something in the middle of the season that kind of reminded people that, oh yeah, you don't have to just wait until the playoffs to watch hockey, people like me. Right now, all they have is that January 1st game, which is another brilliant idea that works. Mm-hmm. It reminds me that hockey's on and I should tune it in. Do you ever see an idea like that working?
They have the All-Star Game, which is important for their sponsors, the people who write the big checks who can bring their kids to the All-Star Game and meet everybody. Everybody's at the All-Star Game in that regard. I guess, you could have some sort of, and because hockey is so international, you could make it, USA, Canada, Russia, Sweden, have, like you said, some sort of little international cup that way. Maybe even kind of, sell a bye in that year's World Championships. Or yeah, if it's an Olympic year, give them a bye in the Olympic year if you really want to make them take it seriously. But I guess you could do a four-nation cup type thing with something on the line, a little round robin over a week span.
It's something they do really well in European soccer. Because mm-hmm. not only do they have the normal season with the playoffs like we have, but then they have these other cups that pop up. And sometimes they'll even have teams from the English Premier League are playing teams from the Spanish League and all kinds of different wrinkles.
Well, the World Junior Tournament has become so big. It's the NCAA tournament for hockey, which is held over the Christmas vacation. That's become so huge, they probably would not want to take away from that because with USA and Canada being the two top teams now in the world, occasionally Russia gets in there. That's such an exciting tournament with just what you're talking about. And it's too bad more people didn't know about it in our country because it is absolutely phenomenal, Olympic-like hockey with kids, 16 to 20 years old.
Is it televised here or no?
It is if you have the NHL Network. They show all the games, but in terms of ESPN or a major carrier, no, you have to have the NHL Network, which is growing. I'm not sure how many homes, might be 50 million, 60 million, but it's getting there.
I like the NHL Network, except they do such a bad job picking their classic games. Their wheelhouse should be people like you and me. We want to see the games from the 70s and 80s.
Exactly. When I see a game, from 2004, I'm not going to watch.
No, why would you?
Yeah. I want to see guys without helmets playing hockey.
Exactly.
That's insane.
I want to see Game 7, 1974 finals, 1-0.
Goalies who just drank on off days, never practiced because the equipment was terrible. Why would you practice when the equipment's terrible? They were horrible athletes. Now they're the best athletes. Now they're like triathletes with 1% body fat who can do splits on the balance beam. Back then, they were just cab drivers. It was you wonder why a guy scored 90, 80, 70 goals because the goalies were cab drivers.
I think it's mesmerizing to watch those old games because you watch somebody like Bobby Orr before his knees went, mm-hmm. and putting him in those games with the people that you just described.
Yes.
Was the equivalent of, putting LeBron James in the 1950s.
Without question.
It was such like a talent athleticism difference, and he would just skate around and do laps and go around the net. And
well, the best story is when he dropped his glove during a penalty kill, he kept the puck for about 30 seconds. It was like raising Arizona when he dropped the diapers. And at the end of the scene, he scoops him back up. Bobby Orr, for about 50 minutes, he has one glove on, and then he scoops by, picks his glove back up 50 seconds later, continues to kill the penalty against the California Golden Seals. But yeah, the league got really old, and then when they expanded to 12 teams, they get, as often happens, leagues get older when that happens. You would think they would get younger, but they get older because guys hold on, and then he just skidded rings around them.
Yeah. And then you look at a guy like Espo, who had 76 goals 1 year.
Exactly. John Goodman on skates.
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine Espo now. Is he even like a third-line center? I don't know.
Big guys who have good releases around the net will always have a place because still almost all goals are scored right around the front of the net, especially in the playoffs. So those guys can survive.
All right. Well, we can all agree Wayne Cashman would not be playing today.
Cash. That's beautiful.
There's a bunch of guys. I don't think Mike Milbury's playing today. There's a bunch of guys.
Yes, especially defensemen who couldn't skate. They just couldn't move back then. They were pylons, but now they can move.
Has this Ovechkin-Crosby thing turned into a you have to be in one camp or the other if you're a hockey fan thing?
Not so much, because, you know, as you know, it's such a parochial sport still. NHL people cannot appreciate other athletes like NBA people can. LeBron James isn't really hated by Laker fans or Celtic fans. In fact, they love going to see him play. But hockey people, if you don't like the Crosby and the Penguins, they hate Crosby and the Penguins. And if you're a Red Wing fan, there's no love for Ovechkin at all. All your love is saved for your team and your players and defending your players and your teams.
So there's no appreciation unless the guy's on your team.
Very little. Although, yeah. You know, again, the people do love watching Ovechkin play, and he does bring them to their feet. And I guess maybe more of the hate is reserved for Crosby right now. But, yeah, they're pretty personal when it comes to their fans.
Well, imagine if the U.S. goes and wins that gold medal game. Mm. Crosby, the breakaway, about 3 minutes left. You could say maybe the guy made a great play poking it from behind. But still, he basically blew the breakaway. And hadn't really been that good in that game or the game before. They lose that game. I think he has a whole different level of pressure going into this playoffs, right?
He might, because yeah, it's been a tough year for Canada. I mean, if the Senators lose to the Penguins and the Canadiens lose to the Capitals, and somehow the Kings beat the Canucks, there are no teams left in Canada. That's Armageddon. And if there was no gold medal game, that is Armageddon. That's hockey Armageddon. So they do have the gold for the rest of this year to live by. But he's been so good for Canada, World Juniors, Penguins, and now this. So I don't know if it would have been a big deal, but it certainly cements him.
Yeah, it's interesting. The lottery, we were taping this on a Wednesday. It's running Thursday. The lottery was last night.
Yeah.
Edmonton won, mm-hmm. and the Bruins finished second with Toronto's pick. So really, it was an Edmonton-Toronto 1-2 combo. Dark day for Canada.
It is. And, you know, Montreal doesn't really have that big-time marquee player. The Maple Leafs are trying to get them. Ottawa's, you know, they're a real local team. Calgary missed the playoffs. They're a mess. Edmonton's an absolute mess. And so it's really Vancouver's Canada's one hope right now with Roberto Luongo, who himself didn't look great in the Olympics. And he's under is probably more pressure than Crosby because he plays in Canada and he's Canadian. So there's a lot of pressure on Luongo. He's like trying to carry the whole country through the postseason.
Well, you know, I judge almost all my sports experiences by emails that readers send me.
Yeah.
And the last 2 months, all of a sudden I started getting emails about the Sedin twins.
Mm-hmm.
And like, check out this clip. Have you guys seen that? Have you seen this on YouTube yet? And then, like, I think, like, 3-4 days ago, one of them had a hat trick, and, like, three of the goals were highlight goals. One of them was, like, spooky. Like, it was, like, off a face-off. One of them won the face-off, went to the defenseman. He passed it back to the guy who won the face-off, who kind of knew where his brother was, even though his back was to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you saw it. I'm describing it for the listeners. And he tip-passed it through his legs to his brother, but there's no way he should have known where his brother was. And it was like this spooky ESP twins thing that like you'd see on 2020 when they're doing a study on twins and how they're telepathic. It was creepy. And that kind of got me excited for the Sedin twins in the playoffs.
It is fun to watch them because that happens every game. When they go on the ice, it's like that. They just know, obviously playing with each other forever. You know, even if one grew up in Bed-Stuy and one grew up in Portland, Oregon, maybe that would still happen if you play with the same dude for 15 years.
Yeah.
But certainly coming from the same womb certainly helps. And Henrik is the center. Daniel's more the scorer. And Henrik won the scoring title, and Daniel got hurt this year. And some think he'll win the MVP over Ovechkin and Crosby.
Wow.
This year. Yeah, they really believe he won the scoring title. And with doing real well with his brother out, and maybe just for, you know, a little change of pace, is it Henrik Sedin starting to get a little grassroots campaign for his MVP pick?
They were considered a disappointment till this season, though, right?
I wouldn't say that, and they've had a not the greatest playoff career, but they certainly did not break through, Henrik especially, until this year. But they're slow growers and late bloomers, and they expected more. But you know, Swedes are chill; they'll take their time.
Yeah, where do they rank in the Swedish pantheon?
In fact, I'm working on a music video for a song I constructed called the Håkan Hanukkah song,
okay,
in honor of Håkan Lube and Swedish-born hockey players. So I got all the lyrics done. We're gonna shoot a video. We're actually gonna record it and then shoot a video, and I'll put it as a link onto my column. And it's the Håkan Hanukkah song, and it's for Swedish hockey players. So they certainly make the cut for the final song.
Are you going to show Boris Salmin getting slashed by a skate and bleeding all over the ice for 20 minutes?
James Woods lookalike? Swedish James Woods.
I'm glad you brought up Håkan Lund because I think, when did he play in the 90s?
He played for the Flames late 80s when they won the Cup in 89. He was on that team and he kind of went back to Sweden early. Now he's a GM. Over there, the Swedish Elite League, which is my favorite name for any league. The Swedish Elite League. So many permutation, connotations.
It really does sound like a porn series. I mean, let's be honest. I remember being in college, though, and just enjoying the living hell out of Håkan Lund anytime somebody said his name on Sports.
Well, people ask me for a fantasy hockey name. I always say Håkan and the Lubes. You just can't beat Håkan and the Lubes. And it's good for intramural hockey, too.
It was really Håkan Lund and Rusty Kuntz. We're the two go-to sports center. Anytime it's said, you just start laughing, guys. Joe Mead, we can keep that.
I think Joe Mead? So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Joe Mead. All right. So let's go in the East, or some people like to call it the Wales.
Eastern Conference.
What do you think?
I think the Capitals are going to roll right through, like the Cavaliers are going to roll right through. Although they're better than the Cavaliers in terms of
overall,
how they relate to each league. I think the Capitals are primed to steamroll right through the Eastern Conference. The Penguins' goaltending's dicey. I don't know how they won last year. The Penguins shouldn't have won last year. They have no scoring wingers, and you know, luckily the Red Wings were a bit beat up, I think. But you know, again, the brilliance of Crosby and Malkin. You have two guys like that. They can carry you, and I guess they could carry you this postseason. And they have gamers, and they're tough. But Marc-Andre Fleury hasn't looked quite good. So I really think the Capitals are going to steamroll through the East. The Devils certainly have the numbers to do well. Since the lockout, every team that has won the Cup scores lots of goals. That's the first thing I look at. They are all high goal scoring teams since they stopped the clutching and grabbing. So certainly any team that can't score, I'm a little worried about, like the Devils. So a team like the Capitals, who score a lot and prevented goals, I just think they're going to win like sweep five games or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I really
do. You sound pretty definitive.
Yeah, I do, which is surprising in hockey because, you know, the goaltender changes everything. When you have a guy in front of the net, that can change everything. They can go crazy, and they can pull a Kenny Dryden or a Mike Moffitt for those Bruin fans out there. You know, a guy can carry a team for a few series, or vice versa. You know, Jose Theodore can lay an egg. So he was hit by Ovechkin in practice Tuesday and went off, like, you know, holding his eyeball. So we'll see if he's able to play, but he's getting the start.
Steve Penny was the worst one.
Steve Penny, yeah.
Because I think right after that game, he immediately just started working at like a 7-Eleven and was never seen again.
Blaine Walker.
Yeah, the Dryden one was the one. I was only like two when that happened, but that was the one that. How old are you?
I'm 44.
Oh, you're even older than me.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, the Dryden in 1971 was the one they always went to as the go-to hot goalie, just destroying a much better team reference.
Well, I was 5 years old. The Bruins were as big as the Red Sox were now. I mean, they were so popular. My dad, it was in his late 30s. He listened to every Bruins game. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio, and WBZ came in clear as a bell. Now I can't get it in Hartford. But back then, WBZ came in clear as a bell, and he listened to every single game on the radio at night. And when they were in Pittsburgh, we'd drive to Pittsburgh and see a Penguin-Bruin game. And so that was, you know, that's how I became a hockey fan, just those teams and those years. And, yeah, when they lost, it was like just a tragedy. I was just – when I went to a game, when the other team got the puck over the red line, I started to get nervous. And until my team got the puck out of the zone, I was finally stress-free. And then I was also depressed at the 10-minute mark of the second period because now the game was more than half over. And I started to get depressed and rooted for games to last forever. That's when I hear this debate about baseball games and other games lasting too long. I say, geez, I wanted games to last forever.
The first sporting event I ever remember watching, which is weird because my dad got season tickets for the Celtics 73-74, and I went to some of those games but don't remember anything. But the Bruins-Flyers Stanley Cup Series is the first thing in 74. But that Bruins run, you know, I still got like 2 years at Orr before his knees went. But then O'Reilly came in and all that. So, you know, they really were bigger than, in my opinion, definitely bigger than the Celtics, bigger than the Patriots. It was neck and neck with them and the Red Sox.
It was so theatrical. Like you said, even though they didn't win with the O'Reilly teams, they were so much fun to watch. And there was a bit of a lull. Then Neely and Bork came in and just caught right up within it again.
It went all the way through when I was in college, and this is why I faded out. I've written about this before, but they just got cheap. And it got cheap to the point where I feel like it cost them at least one cup. You know, it's unbelievable when you look back at those Neely Bork teams that they didn't win a Stanley Cup from 88 to 92.
No salary cap.
Have to win one of those years, and they just were too freaking cheap. And I really took it personally. And also, you know, hockey, once the Devils in 94, once that stuff started, now I feel like at least for the playoffs, I'm getting sucked back. And, you know, watching, I think the Olympics was really helpful this year because even like watching like a team like the Kings, you say, hey, Jack Johnson.
That's right.
Hey, I know him from the Olympics.
That's right.
Hey, it's Ryan Miller. Mm-hmm. You know, and this was the first time that I felt like the Olympics really worked for them in their favor. I don't remember it being as water cooler as it was this year in 06 or 02, do you?
No, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And it certainly helps in North America, although certainly it was in Salt Lake City before. But a lot of those guys, again, it was an older league and older teams, and they knew everybody, and it wasn't that much of a buzz. But, again, with Crosby and just having that star surrounding anything, it makes everything look better and feel better because there's more of a villain aspect. And it was good Olympics, too. The Olympics have kind of come back in some ways, which has been nice.
I agree. But as you pointed out, having these games live was a gigantic help.
Yeah, and that's why the NHL doesn't want to go to Russia in 4 years. You know, they really don't because, you know, these games won't be live or 2 a.m. or 6 in the morning. And I know they don't want to go, but the players want to go, and the fans love it. So that's tough to say no to your players and your customers. That's a tough one for Gary Bettman
to
say no to.
They should look at what happened with the 2008 NBA. You know, they go to China. They're showing the games at 2:33 in the morning. Nobody even saw the gold medal game.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a column about it for the magazine just because I felt like nobody had actually seen the game. People just knew we won, but nobody was talking about it, and the game was on at some weird hour in the East Coast. I think it was middle of the night. I don't think they should go. I think it's stupid to go to Russia. Just come up with some cup here to have, you know,
and
like
North,
what we talked about earlier. Just come up with your own thing that could be at a normal time. Question. Ovechkin and Crosby, obviously 1 and 2 in some order. Who's number 3? Is it Sedin?
Wow. Well, just this year with an amazing... that's a great question. You know, Pavel Datsyuk in Detroit would have to get a lot of consideration with winning Stanley Cups and being an amazing offensive player and a good two-way player and a good face-off guy. He's real close. Of course, it's like football. These positions are so different. You know, a center is different from a wing. Crosby has so much more responsibility than Ovechkin because he has to take face-offs and play more defense. And certainly a defenseman is different than a goalie and everything. So, but in terms of, you know, I think Pavel Datsyuk would have to be real close. He's had a good run. And Henrik Zetterberg, that's why they're good every year.
There's no Bobby Orr, Ray Bourque type right now?
Well, Drew Doughty is close for the Kings.
Close, but not there.
No, not quite there. And, you know, Nicholas Lidstrom's 40 years old now, so he's kind of out of that top three discussion now for defensemen. And so I think Doughty has a chance if he's serious and really wants to be the best. He can become the best.
All right. What about the Campbell Conference?
The West is tough. The Red Wings are coming on strong, but you just don't know if that's a regular season thing. They still have scoring issues. They lost Hossa from last year, and they were really loaded last year. How they didn't win, it really is amazing. They got a rookie goaltender. But I've been big on the Blackhawks all year. I've been big on a Blackhawk. The Blackhawks Capitals to me is like Lakers and Cavs in a lot of ways. How those are the two likely teams we'll see. They are loaded. They're tough. Joel Quenneville has a beautiful mustache. It's majestic. I dubbed it the Q stash last year. In fact, I interviewed the Q stash at one point in one of my columns, and it's really good stuff. And Jonathan Toews is one of those Steve Yzerman type of young leaders who just has it and gets it, and just a hockey player through and through. Kind of has a Ray Bourque aura about him in terms of respect and talent and ability and big game stuff. So I really think, I know they have goaltending issues. They have a rookie Finn in net, which is always dicey. But I do think the Blackhawks, if they get healthy, get Brian Campbell back, they got great defense, and they have a Drew Doughty type player in Duncan Keith, they're very similar. So, I still think the Hawks, if they're healthy, will get there and play the Capitals.
Why is hockey the only sport where the players have realized the entertainment value of mustaches? Why isn't baseball realized? You'd think there would be like some
baseball,
fourth outfielder in the Tigers who would realize
baseball players
this.
Are so not ironic, as you know. You know, the hockey players are pretty interesting, and they're international. They travel the world. They play with a bunch of different guys from all over the world. And like I said, they play in tournaments in Quebec. They go to Sweden when they're 10. They go to Denmark when they're 12. You know, so they've been around. So they see the world, and they're not kind of sheltered in Central Florida playing baseball 12 months a year for 18 years.
Are you calling baseball players dumb?
No, I didn't do that. I just said they're not ironic.
You're calling them limited intellectually.
Just not ironic, don't you think?
No, listen, I agree with you. If you're going to do the hierarchy, I think baseball has to be last, no matter what the other order is for the rest of the guys. These guys, they go to, from high school, and then they're in East Bumscrew, Oklahoma. And then they go from there, they go to, like, not even, like, a good part of Nevada, like, not Las Vegas or not even Reno, and, like, the fifth worst city you could be, or first town you could be in. It's just not a good way to spend your formative years.
No, it's Waffle House and Applebee's, and that's, you know.
Pretty much. That's why I like sugar so much, because it really gave you a window into especially if you're a foreigner and you come into this and you're, you know, in Kansas somewhere, you know. Pretty big
obstacle. Just eat blocks of sugar? Is that
what? Yeah. Do you think we're ever getting back hockey?
I think the deal's up after next year, I believe, after next season, versus an NBC deal both ends after next year. So I think the NHL trying to position so they both ended the same year, hoping that either we come with a big check or someone matches. I don't know. I think Comcast, you know, if this NBC Comcast thing goes through, I would think they'd be pretty serious to try to, you know, build a decent little sports empire of their own, and hockey's been good to them, and Comcast is owned by Versus, and so maybe the NHL been happy with that relationship, and if they step up with a big check, I think they might stay there. But I don't see why we can't do both, like the NBA. Like, I mean, we're on TNT and the ESPN. Why can't we do both?
I think we want to. I think there might be some residual bitterness on the Bettman side.
Nah, I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense. But you know,
you're talking about Gary Bettman.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Come on, the mole. Planted by David Stern.
I guess because hockey, you can get hockey at such a good bargain, $70, $80 million a year. I guess if you do that, you might as well want the exclusive rights if you're going to pay for it.
All right, well, if I ran ESPN, and don't rule that out. Give me two more years.
This 30 of 30 thing is the best thing ever done.
I'm just going to stage a coup d'etat in. Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, but with 3D coming... What's the best sport for 3D out of all the sports?
Wow, yeah, certainly a goal cam for hockey.
Hockey in 3D would be absolutely astonishing.
I mean, to see a slap shot come in a goalie cam or a net cam.
Yeah.
Wow.
Football's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Football looks great, blurry black and white.
Basketball helps a little, not that much, but man, you could do some stuff with hockey.
Yeah.
And baseball. I guess maybe if you had like a helmet on the umpire or something, that would be cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. HD has been great for hockey. I mean, ratings are good. I know part of it's Ovechkin Crosby, but part of it is it looks real good on your HD TV because of the white ice, and you get that big TV that's so nice and bright now. And it's just a good, fun watch, like you said.
I've written about it. Unfortunately, I'm retired from marijuana, but if I was not, hockey in HD is where I'd go. That would be my go-to.
Mm.
Just, it's nice. There's a lot of rich colors, nice brightness, things moving around. There might be a fight. It's a good way to go. I'm sure there's some college kids out there who are nodding right now as they put the bong down and listen to us. I agree with you. I think the HD thing was the most important thing that's happened to hockey.
Yeah.
The last, I don't know, 15 years.
No doubt. And it's just weird how terrible standard definition television looks now.
Ugh.
I remember in the 70s watching these beautiful NFL games on my color console TV that was, you know, basically a couch with a TV in the middle with a big, all that wood. And it looked great. Now you watch a standard def game now, it's just terrible.
Well,
I don't understand. Why did it get worse?
My beloved Kevin Durant team, that I'm not allowed to say their real name. You know, some of the teams, they have better cameras than others.
Mm-hmm.
And Durant's team, of course, because God forbid their owners ever didn't rake in every buck they could. They're using cameras from like the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So you watch their games on the NBA package, and it's like, you know, legitimately blurry. But then you watch the other teams, but it's the same thing. I just get mad. It's like, come on. It's 2010. Do we even need the standard channels anymore? Can we all just have HD at this point?
That's what's great about the NHL Center Ice Package. You watch like an Edmonton Oiler game, and first of all, the cameras, again, from the late 70s. And they'll show local hardware store commercials. The commercials are phenomenal for some of these Canadian markets. It's just great. Like a mom-and-pop tricycle fix-em-up store, you know, and right after a Wayne Gretzky Ford commercial. So it's great.
Yeah, especially like if it would be like Edmonton. Come on down to Bob's Barbecue.
Exactly, and that they actually have ads like that. It looks like an SCTV skit with John Candy, you know, and Pete Flaherty and all those guys.
You are you a draft guy or no?
Love drafts. Love every draft. All kinds.
Because
every draft.
My dad was all giddy. He wanted the Bruins to get in the top two.
Yeah.
Because he claimed there were two franchise centers or two franchise forwards, whatever.
There are.
I could have, you know, I just assumed because it was the Bruins, we wouldn't get into the top two.
Yeah.
We actually did.
It was chalk. It was chalk. The draft lottery for the NHL was chalk.
And also, it was good that Edmonton won number one because, I don't know, we're all rooting for Edmonton, right? Nobody's against Edmonton or Buffalo. Those are the two teams we want to keep and we want them to do well.
Yeah, they're going to build a new arena soon. But it was great getting the top two. Plus, I think two is better because then it takes the pressure off because these two guys up there, Tyler Hall and Taylor Seguin, are so equal. The one's a left-handed shooting centerman, one's a right-handed shooting centerman. They both look like hockey players and sound like hockey players. Both will probably be able to play next year. We'll be able to step right in. I mean, the Bruins will have too many centers. They'll probably have to make a trade. I mean, they'll have Savard, Bergeron, and Krejci.
And I'd trade Bergeron.
So I would too. In fact, I propose a Bergeron to L.A. deal involving Jack Johnson because the Kings are going to have to extend Drew Doughty soon. He's going to be a $7 million player. And they're going to have cap concerns, and I don't know if they could afford Johnson, but to have a second-line center behind Kopitar, and then, you know, obviously there might be other draft picks to even the things out as well. I would think that kind of deal would work really well for both teams, because the Bruins need a young athletic defenseman. He's a perfect Bruin because he's tough and he's a good personality. He's funny. Jack Johnson's got a... And I thought
good musician.
I thought, yeah, excellent on the Curious George soundtrack. And I think that would work. But yeah, I mean, if they draft this center, now they have all kinds of centers, and I would think they would have to make a deal.
Well, it's a two-person draft, and then it's the rest of the draft. So they'll get one of those two guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'd be lying if I said that I didn't go on YouTube last night and YouTube both of them for about a half hour. The guy, Taylor Hall, scored like the winning goal in some junior championship
Memorial Cup. That's their big cup up there.
And did this whole – he ran across the – or you know, did the step and then skidded across the ice, and then his teammates jumped on him. I kind of liked him just for that.
He looks like, if you look at him when he gets interviewed, he looks like a player. He looks like a person who's constantly trying to figure out an algebra problem. That's what his expression is. It never changes. Like he's looking at an algebra problem on the board that he has no idea, and he's always trying to figure out what the heck it means. That's how he always looks.
The fact that the Bees are in the top two, I might have to do another NHL draft diary. I had so much fun the last time. It was great.
That was epic. At least do the first 10 picks. After that, it gets pretty tough.
then you get the terrible jackets and stuff.
The bad clothing.
So good. I love – Canada is great. Canada is really about 50 – you know, and I think even they would admit this, and everybody knows I love Canada, so they're not going to take this personally. It's about 15 years behind for the most part.
Well, Ray Ferraro used to always say – he had this coach when they flew into Canada. All right, boys, we're entering Canada. Turn your watches back 15 years. That's
right.
What he would say.
You go to Vancouver, and it's like – it's hot tub time machine. watching that draft, the telecast, or like that award show that they do where they hand out the awards, it's really out of 1993. Like, you could have the Sklar brothers doing commentary and pretend that it actually was in 1993. But I'm very excited for the Bees to maybe finally get a franchise guy, because Thornton seemed like he was going to be the guy, you know, the next guy, and it just didn't work out.
Seemed like the perfect Bruin.
But for some reason, every decade or so, we get a chance at one of these guys.
Yeah, it goes back to Gord Kluzak. Took it in the Brian Bellows draft. And
poor Gord Kluzak.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Hey, at least he's on Nesson now on the pregame show.
The one thing about Gord Kluzak is apparently his locker room prowess was legendary, if you get my drift. So I always respect his career didn't work out, but he always had that going for him.
Which is nice. He went to Harvard, too.
Yes, he did. Yeah, we had some bad luck with some of the, you know, Levy was, you know.
Yep, another tough.
Obviously, but to only get, when you think about it, to only get 8 years out of Bobby Orr is kind of outrageous.
Yeah, it was.
It was 9 years, I guess, but, you know, just not fair. Yeah. All right, John Buccigross. You want to plug Morning Sports Center?
Well, it's morning for you, but for the East Coast people, it's noon to 3.
Listen, I'm the only one that matters. So as far as I'm concerned, it's morning Sports Center because I see you at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. It's great. Weekends off, dinner off. It's perfect.
So when you do, you do 12 to 1, and then you're basically doing the same show over again unless something happens.
Yes, I would 70%, but we do some elements, only once during an hour. We had Mel Kiper today in the final hour to talk about the Brendan Marshall trade. It's not like watching the Morning Sports Center, the morning Sports Center from L.A., where it's an identical show for hour after hour. We change it up a bit.
I have an idea for you because we talked about how mustaches make the NHL players stand out. Mm-hmm. None of the SportsCenter male anchors have tried to differentiate themselves either with facial hair or wardrobe. Like, for instance, what if you just started wearing Miami Vice suits? What would they say? Would they tell you not to wear like a white linen suit?
Yes, they would.
They would? They would say, listen, you can't do that tomorrow?
Not when you're doing a Ben Roethlisberger reader. You know, that would be tough to pull out.
Oh, man, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I guess.
Once in a while you're just doing one of those things, and then you gotta make sure your hair and everything are. But you're right. That's one reason why I took the glasses off when I worked the night shift, because you got Scott Van Pelt and John Anderson and Neil Everett when he was here. There was too many glasses, so I wore my contacts. And now that I'm in the afternoon, since I'm sitting next to Chris McKendry, who won't wear glasses, that look like my buddy Holly, Elvis Costello, you know, special.
Yeah.
And the funny guy on The Daily Show that I always forget his name, John something. Not John Oliver, but the other guy. But he's on once in a while. He has the Macintosh commercials for the Mac computer ads.
Right.
He's the Mr. PC or something. But
John Hodgman.
Yes, John Hodgman. Those glasses. I know she won't wear those. So now I have freedom to wear these glasses. So that's the one accessory that you can go to as a male anchor on SportsCenter.
Well, do you think at the LA SportsCenter maybe we could have those guys dress up like they're really in LA, wear ties and have chest hair and stuff?
Wear the chest toupee. How about Tyreek Evans, who got tossed from the game last night, but still went to SportsCenter to do the top 10?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. That was phenomenal. Because I'm doing the highlight today, and I go, oh, do not yell at Derek Richardson. He will run you right out of the game, which he did, Evans. And then during the break, Chris McKendry goes, yeah, he did the top 10 on SportsCenter later that night. I'm thinking maybe he was afraid he was going to miss the taping, so he got run.
He's got to do the...
That is great.
He's got to do the Rookie of the Year politicking.
Justin Timberlake was on there once doing a top 10. So that, you know, you're not going to get that in Connecticut.
You know, the other thing people don't know about you, and Gus told me this, I didn't even know. You don't. Not only do you not wear pants when you do sports, and you don't even wear underwear. Mm-hmm. You just go naked from the waist down, which I didn't even know that was legal.
That's why I do the lunges.
That's why you have such a happy look on your face all the time. Have you wear jeans?
No, I wear a full suit because this show we stand up and walk around a lot.
Oh.
Back in the 11 o'clock sports center, I would just wear jeans because we never stood up.
Because the first time I went to visit Gus was like 1997.
Yep.
And I was like, the fact that like Dan Patrick, or it was one of them, I think it was either Dan or...
Yeah, Dan wore jeans and untucked his shirt so it wouldn't get scrunched up. So walking through the studio, tennis shoes, jeans, untucked shirt, sit behind the desk.
It was mesmerizing for me at the time because, you know, you just know what you see on the TV. And to see these guys and find out that they're not wearing
my
a suit.
My first mesmerizing ESPN moment was when I came for my tryout. When you come in, you do a 15-minute sports center, then you go have lunch with Al Jaffe, and then you interview with three executives. And I was sitting there writing my pretend sports center that I would go do, and Charlie Steiner was like two pods over, and he swore. I thought that was the coolest thing.
Wow.
I was like, wow, Charlie Steiner just swore.
He's the greatest. I saw him in Dallas, and he is like a real character. I'd like to see him back on the ESPN airwaves with some sort of late-night show.
Like an editorial or something.
He editorial, but he's also like in Hef's Mansion. Like, it's got a variety of things going.
I'm surprised they haven't utilized him now we're out there. I went to my first Dodger game last year, and I stopped in to say hi to him and Rick Monday. And he come here, John. Show me the iPhone. Bristol's five-day weather on there. Just want to remind myself why I'm here.
That's great.
That was funny.
And he knows everybody, too. He's a really good guy.
Oh,
all
yeah.
right. John Buchagrass, will you come on during the playoffs if anything gets interesting?
Yes, we'll give you our Stanley Cup update anytime.
All right. And you know, think about the Miami Vice thing. I understand the Roethlisberger hesitation and those kind of things. But maybe on a night where you know there's no breaking anything, you know, maybe the white linen.
I need something.
How about a big Fu Manchu or like one of the mutton chops maybe?
Boy, it would take me a year to grow a mustache.
Maybe go mutton chop implants or mutton chops toupee or something.
You know, I may start to grow sideburns. I might try that.
Do like the Brandon Dillon 1990s sideburns, just like the long straight.
I had those in 1990.
Yeah, bring them back.
On Cape Cod, my first TV job, I had those.
All right. Who are you rooting for, by the way? Obviously the Bruins, right?
I root for my predictions. I make my ESPN.com. I made my predictions. Well, I picked the Sabres to beat the Bruins, so I'll be rooting for the Sabres.
So you've divested yourself of fandom because you're in the sports fandom.
I have. Since I started hosting NHL Tonight and meeting the players and covering everything and kind of that mid-90s Bruin malaise you talked about, I've never recovered. And and so I just love all 30 teams equally. That's my mantra I tell people when they ask me, and it's pretty true. I just root for my predictions.
Yeah, my thing with the Bruins is I'm so scarred, but I love the Bruins fans. So I root for them to be happy, but I personally am not that invested.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me happy when the Bruins fans are happy, but I know ultimately they're going to get kicked in the stomach. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know, the good thing is supposedly, word in the street, 2012, that's when Jacobs, it becomes very profitable for him to sell the team. And people seem to think he will. So that's only 2 years away. And
it should be locally owned, that's for sure.
It should be locally owned, and I would even say, you know, maybe build your own
hockey
arena
only rink
somewhere else. Yeah, there's a couple guys locally that, you know, that I've...
Build a hockey-only rink, you mean?
Something.
I would love that. Down by Southie,
I just
there,
think
all that nice land in Southie, build a nice hockey-only rink, 16,000, make it intimate, and build big Cam Neely statues outside made of, you know, copper, and just make it a big Bruins playland.
There was a big plan once for Suffolk Downs.
Ah.
And, you know, a whole, like, a big-ass project that ended up not happening, but... I think we all have to agree that the Fleet Center, you know, they built it at the worst possible time to build a sports arena. It was before people kind of realized where sports arenas going.
Yeah.
So it's already dated. And it's in a section of Boston that, you know, it's good, but it's parking, all that stuff, traffic, it's not ideal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? But I wouldn't mind seeing them take another crack at an arena. Maybe go a little smaller, a little more intimate, something like that.
I agree.
But a new owner, I think, would go a long way. I know I'd be back. John Bucci-Grass, thanks for stopping by the BS Report.
Peace out, booyah.
On the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, our old friend Dave Damashek. What's happening?
How are we, Sporty?
I guess the better question is, how are you? You root for a team of felons and cover-up artists.
Wait a second. I get an email from you last night saying, let's talk about playoff puck. What a stunner that you would go right into this sore subject for me. This is a dark day for me.
You're the one who tweeted that you're ready for them to trade the man you once affectionately called Seven.
Well, that's right. Now he's Roethlisberger to me.
This is a rumor. It probably has no basis in reality, but the number one Rams pick and their number one next year for Seven.
Absolutely, yeah. I've heard the same rumor, and I would definitely do that. Listen, I think I really do mean it. I hate to ascend up to Mount Pius, you know, the moral high ground usually occupied by the puritanical media and, you know, a certain segment of our society, but I have to do it. Listen, I would like a statement by the Rooney family of, you know, a trade of Roethlisberger. If you can get a number one draft pick for him, fantastic. But even if it means you get nothing in return, part ways with this guy. It is clear. I don't care what the legal system determined out of this. It's quite clear now he's a scumbag, right? I mean, and how am I to root for him? We are not the Ravens. We are not the Bengals. This is the statement the Rooney family needs to make to the sports world. We are not the Cowboys. Yes, we want to win desperately, but not at all costs. We don't want to do it with a team of scumbags. We are the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're not just going to win, but we'll win the right way, or as close as we can get to it. I would love for the Steelers to do that. I'll take 2-14 this year with Dennis Dixon or Chaz Batch at the helm. Either way.
Jimmy, do we have to bleep the word scumbags?
I think we should just keep saying it.
Okay. Now, Joe Meade, in a heartbeat, would trade his number 9 pick and next year's number 1 for the rights to have Big Ben Roethlisberger as his quarterback in 2010 in the Buffalo.
I don't know if I want 7.
Really?
No.
Oh, I'd take him. Come on.
Because of moral reasons, Meade, or because you're not as impressed with him as a player?
I like him just fine as a player, but for the reasons you laid out with the what the Rooney family should do for the Steelers organization, I don't want to see him go to Buffalo.
I mean, really, wouldn't that be dynamite? Wouldn't that be a great statement that would last for all of time that the Steelers are not going to tolerate nonsense? I think it would be great. And people keep talking about the provincial way of Pittsburghers, and they take this more seriously. I think that's overstated, but I do think it would be a great statement that, you know, we're not in, we have 6 rings in the city of Pittsburgh provided by the Steelers. You know, we're not desperate like other teams are to get back to that place or to make a name for ourselves. Listen, we'll rest on our last 30 years of existence and stand by that. And in the short term, if we have to go 2-14, so be it.
I got to make a point. Why did the Lakers trade Kobe in 2003 then? Under your logic, under your, it's clear from the facts, all that stuff. I mean, if you look at the Kobe trial pretty carefully, you know, he paid off the accuser before it went to a civil suit. And then he said, after the fact, if you can look it up, you can read the statement online. He apologized to her for whatever transpired in the hotel room. He said it's now clear to him that his actions weren't, you know, on the level or whatever he ended up saying. Doesn't seem a whole lot different than this Roethlisberger thing, in my opinion.
Well, first of all, the Lakers aren't my affair. And, you know, with the likes of Ron Artest and Dennis Rodman and so on, then, you know, they have a different standard, or, you know, they obviously don't care as much as I do about the way my team comes off. But also, it was the big difference is, in my book, is this was a one-time thing. I mean, that now combined with the I think the Kobe case, as a matter of fact, has a lot more in common with Roethlisberger's Tahoe case. I mean, I think those are analogous because the woman had some ulterior motive, obviously. This is Roethlisberger drunk in some backwater Georgia town with a 20-year-old co-ed.
Who was also drunk, yeah.
And, you know, going into some dirty public toilet with her, and it just all stinks. There's just no sense at all. You know, there's just it indicates that the guy is not together. And by the way, let me say, I mean, clearly we have two rings that the Steelers do because of Roethlisberger. Largely, you know, this would be about as big as you could get. This is this is almost as big as getting rid of Kid Crosby for the Penguins or LeBron James for the Cavs.
Settle down.
All right, maybe not as big, but I will say this about Roethlisberger. He is uniquely gifted. We could talk about Brady, Manning, Brees, but Roethlisberger is the only QB in the NFL who can make plays and win games with almost zero offensive line in front of him. None of those guys could do it, and in spite of that, I say let's say our goodbyes.
Say that I need to see the complete list, but he's on the short list of five or six of the QBs that can win a Super Bowl with, and it would really be hard for me to believe that. I just don't think you can cut somebody like that.
Well, I'll tell you, it does. You know, practically speaking, if for whatever influence the Rooney family still has, you know, as far as football philosophy goes, I don't know how much they really get to say anything in Coach Tomlin's ear, but. You know, the idea is that they want to start running the ball anyway. This would be a great opportunity to return to that trade. Like you say, if they got a number one pick anywhere in the draft, but I mean in the first round, but if they did get that first overall, you could go Bradford and then use the other pick on an offensive lineman, and then just go Dennis Dixon and for the short term, or throw Bradford in there and just run the ball for the next year or two. I think I really do think. Maybe there is something too, like I say, that the mindset of Pittsburghers, and like I say, it's wildly overstated because it's an easy story to throw out. Blue collar people in Pittsburgh are blue collar, as though there's no one in a suit and tie walking the streets of Pittsburgh. But anyway, there is something to be said for the old style. People do like that the Steelers are run the ball in defense. And besides that, I just think morally. People would dig that. You know, there would be a segment who would say it's crazy to get rid of the guy. But
and you left out family owned.
Well, you know, by the way, though, you actually emailed me this separately. But there are definitely differences between Roethlisberger and Santonio Holmes' situation. But they're definitely it does now create. Whether it's accurate or not, it definitely creates the sense, I'm sure, in the locker room and with people there's a different standard because Santonio Holmes is African American and Roethlisberger is a white guy. That's, you know, that is going to come up. Why did Santonio get traded and Roethlisberger didn't? The fact is that Santonio is going to sit for four games. Then he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So they just figured we're not going to retain him anyway. It's the reason they could make that deal, but.
He's also a wide receiver and Ben's a quarterback, but if I'm an African American Steelers fan and I'm just looking at this, it doesn't sit right with me.
I can see it.
We got rid of the black guy and we kept the white guy is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You know, looking at it from the Rams perspective, they have a new owner, new ownership coming in, turning the team around, all that stuff. Do you really trade for the guy who just weaseled his way out of some bathroom rape situation? I don't know if that's your first move. I think you just take Sam Bradford and you're happy with it. The Bills, on the other hand, you look at, you know, this is they have trouble getting free agents. They have trouble getting coaches. They might move to Toronto in a couple of years. This is a team that has to, you know, maybe take a swing for the fences with something. It makes a little more sense for them, I think.
Yeah, if you haven't done anything like either one of those teams in the last handful of years, yeah, it makes sense to do that. And then also there's that rationalization of, you know, fresh start, you know.
Yeah.
A new broom sweeps clean. We'll bring him in and it'll be fine. That's you know, you can make that case. That's
so you take Jimmy Clausen at 9, then you get like their second round or next year and like a fourth this year.
No,
I just cut ties with 7.
Yeah, that's right. All we need is someone to hand the ball off. Maybe we just go with Randall L. under center. That's it. We just run an option. We go real old school. We don't even try to throw the ball. We do like the old Barry Switzer Oklahoma teams and throw the ball 3 times a game. That's
tumultuous year for you, Damashek. You turned against America in the Olympics. You rooted for Canada in the gold medal hockey game, and now you've turned on 7. Who else are you going to turn on? Your wife?
Listen, let me just tell
you. Is your wife next? Are your kids next? who do you turn on next?
Look, there's no doubt it's been a rough year. I mean, like 2 years ago, for a Pittsburgh sports fan, I mean, 2 years ago, in honor or dishonor or whatever it would be, for the city of Seattle, the single worst sports year that any fan base has ever had to suffer through.
Yeah.
I created the Sonic Award, and you know, I mean, that year of '08 was really miserable for those people. You know, last year Pittsburgh was the city of champions, was restored to that. I think this year they might they're in the running right now. Pittsburgh's in the running for the Sonic Award. I mean, the Pirates are obviously going to be miserable.
Stop it! Come on, Kansas City fans are throwing their headsets right now.
Well, it all now hinges on, it really does hinge now on what Kid Crosby and company are able to do in this in this postseason.
Good segue.
Thank you.
You're a 4 seed. You're playing Ottawa in round 1.
Well, look, it would be, you have to think that the Pens, you have to hope that Commissioner Bettman has the good sense to pull a David Stern and make the officials aware of the need to get a Caps Pens round 2 matchup, and that's what they're
And that's in play because the Caps are the 1 seed, and
right.
I forget the NBA and the NHL do it differently. Is it set the matchups
the
or is it lower seed?
No,
reseed it.
Yeah, so you hope for the NHL's sake, objectively, you hope that obviously you get Ovechkin versus Crosby again. And I think you will get that. The Senators are a rugged bunch and talented. And
So wait a second, though. So if the Flyers are a 7th seed, if they beat the Devils or if the 6th seed Bruins beat the Sabres, we lose Pens Caps.
Right.
Until round 3.
Yeah. Right. And so and that's another thing that Commissioner Bettman and the rest of the league and any hockey fan better be rooting for is if you're a Devils fan, fine. But if you have no rooting interest, otherwise, you got to hope the Devils go out because that's something I know you and I have talked about for the last 15 years. There is no single championship that hurt a sport more than the Devils in '95 because that issue that ushered in the dead puck era and everything else. They're back to playing that way. They got Ilya Kovalchuk, one of the great snipers, a couple of months ago, but he hasn't really done what they expected him to do, which was turn him into some sort of a goal scoring machine. They still play that dreaded trap that, you know, a lot of 2-1 type games. I'm going to go out on a limb. I have two upset, so I'm going to circle 2 upset specials here. One, in the Wales Conference, I'm going to say the Flyers. They're loaded. They've underperformed all year, but I do like that team. The Devils have kind of limped into the playoffs, except against the Penguins. They haven't played well. I think the Flyers can knock them off. And then over on the other side of things, how about our hometown, L.A. Kings? I like them. Nice.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hold that thought. I want to get to that. Let's talk. Let's finish the East, though, because, you know.
Please, it's the Whales. Enough with this Eastern and Western conference.
Whatever. Oh, please.
It's ridiculous.
I like Buffalo. I always feel bad for them as a sports town. Mm-hmm. They lost their basketball team. They're going to lose their football team. The Sabres, they've really held on to. They have the, you know, Ryan Miller and goal, American hero. I didn't want the Bruins to play them in round one because, you know, I jump on the playoff bandwagon every year. I would have much rather have played the Devils. I'd feel bad if the Bruins beat the Sabres. Like, they care about hockey much more, I think, than the Sabre fans are much more hardcore, I think, than most of the Bruins fans. The Bruins
have
their hardcore element, but it's not do or die like it would be for the Sabres.
Yeah, and Boston just had that sort of uneven season. Yeah, I agree with you. It seems like that's the big upset pick I've been seeing everywhere, is that the Bruins are going to knock off the Sabres. But
well, we lost Mark Savard. Like, he doesn't come back even for the playoffs, though, right?
I don't think he's coming back for the postseason at any point. But
your boy got revenge, Matt Cook. He got knocked out.
Yeah.
Karma.
Yeah, I really couldn't help but think that there was some justice in that. So be it.
A little justice.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely was he was dirty more than once this season, so I guess he had that one coming. That was fine.
It's on YouTube, and he got knocked out by somebody who was like 18 or 19.
Yeah, oh yeah, Evander Kane, who was named Evander for Evander Holyfield. Actually, if you watch it closely, they keep saying, oh, he got knocked out with, he got cold cocked with one punch, but in fact, Evander Kane drops a second one just as Cook gets to the ice and bounces his head off the ice. He got somehow rapid fire delivered another jab as Cook's head is getting to the ice. If you watch closely, it's pretty good. Pretty impressive.
The bigger story there is how great of a name Evander Kane is. That sounds like a fake action movie, Corolla movie. I play Evander Kane. Or it sounds like a Rocky VII villain or something.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, of course, the NHL has the greatest names in sports, whatever you think of the otherwise. You have to give the sport credit. No better names than in puck. But
irony with the Bruins this year because, you know, they trade Kessel. And, you know, ironically, they're one score short in the playoffs. But Toronto ends up stinking. Draft lottery last night. There's two guys that matter in the draft lottery this year. The Bees get the number two pick. We're back, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was Kessel, even though it didn't make sense that when you just see the trade, what they gave him away, basically. He was a problem. He wasn't going to stay with them long term anyway. So yeah, that works out nicely. The Bruins too. It's a shame for them because they haven't been scoring all season. But that's what the NHL has become since you don't tune in till playoff time. You want it to be like the '80s so much. You want it to be like the high-flying days of the late 80s, early 90s. But it's similar in some regards, but it really, the defensemen being puck movers is everything now. Now it's not about those stay-at-home defensemen so much as it is the guys that move the puck. The Bruins do that great, they just haven't scored much. So I don't necessarily think that. Everybody's picking that Bruins upset, though. I guess they just
– I don't see it.
Yeah, they don't have much respect for the Sabres, but
well, also it always comes down to the goalie, and assuming Ryan Miller keeps going. Yeah, I hated the Kessel trade when it happened, and it just reminded me why I stopped following the Bruins as intensely, because typical, didn't want to pay the guy move. But in this case, you know, it really sounds like part of that trade was it's not a bad thing to get Toronto's number one since they always stink and.
Right.
And it kind of worked out. Like, I feel like I owe them an apology. There's two franchise guys in this draft, and they rolled the dice and got one of them.
Well, that's also what would be kind of cool about going back to Roethlisberger, if that rumor is true that it's not just this year's number one. Exactly that. If they got the Rams number one next year, I don't care if they have Roethlisberger or not, they're not suddenly going to be an 11-win team. So they would get another good player next season, too.
I have a question. What pick do the Raiders have? That would be an interesting Roethlisberger home, because Al Davis doesn't care about them.
Since I started bad-mouthing Roethlisberger on Twitter, I've gotten a ton of emails or notes from Raiders fans begging for me to somehow make this happen. So I did. I put a call into Art Rooney, too, and hopefully he'll respond to me soon. I've encouraged him to make this deal, but
that
would be great. I would love it. That would be that really ain't jive either. You know that Al Davis would make that trade.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know what they do with Jamarcus, but so we don't think there's any way. You know, I see the Canadians. You know me, I don't follow hockey till the playoffs. I just see the Canadians as an 8 seed, and I get scared because they're the Canadians. But they don't have it this year, right?
No, they are not gonna. They're not gonna do anything with the Caps. But then again, like you say, it's the same thing as in, you know, short series in the MLB postseason. If there's one great pitcher on the lesser team, that can obviously swing the series for him. Just like in March Madness, Stephen Curry can just shoot a number one seed out of the tournament. A hot goalie makes. I mean, it's a simple thing to say, but it really is true, and you see it happen every year. And the Caps are sort of the opposite. They don't have a good goalie. They're like what the Flyers have been for the last 20 years or so. They get, you know, whatever skill they have, and they are loaded. They're like the Edmonton Oilers of the 80s in terms of ability to score, but they don't have Grant Fuhr like the Oilers did back in the 80s. So they're until somebody steps up between the pipes. Plus, they're defensemen. Everybody is so sure that the Caps, I guess everybody isn't so sure, but a lot of people are saying, oh, the Caps are going to win it all because of this is their year. But not just between the pipes, but also on the blue line, they're soft. If you aggressively forecheck them the way a team like the Penguins do, you know, they definitely still can be had. I mean, they can score a ton. It's not just Ovechkin for people who don't watch them normally. I mean, they have some of the best players in the league aside from him. They have Nick Backstrom, assuming he's healthy. They have Alexander Semin. They're loaded, and even on the blue line, Mike Green. But I question how good they are on the blue line. I still think they're a little bit soft back there. So I in spite of that, I still think they're going to do it, or if the Pens don't do it, believe it or not, I'd rather be the Caps than the Devils, because just philosophically, that would be terrible for the league if a team like the Devils, like I say, squeaking out 1-0, 2-1 wins. That's just horrible for the sport. Much better for even Ovechkin to hoist the cup than the Devils again.
My buddy House, Cap season ticket holder this year.
Really?
Very, very nervous about the goalies. He said it's Jose Theodore, who choked last year apparently, right, and then some other guy that's a 21-year-old that nobody knows. And I don't know. It sounded a little iffy for a number one seed. Buffalo couldn't win this conference, right?
I don't know. I don't see that happening. Right. They are good, but, you know, the puck is one of the things that people always, the rhetoric you hear all the time in not just puck, obviously, but in all the sports is, oh, experience. Oh, they've been there before. I'm always one of those guys, especially much more so, I guess, in hockey than in the NBA. I'm a big believer in give me young skill. Over.
You had it last year.
Yeah, all you have to people keep saying that over experience. Yeah, but except for the fact that you've had the Penguins in the finals twice, the Caps had a decent run, the Blackhawks last year. A lot of people are picking the Blackhawks, including me, to go to the finals at least this year. I mean, give me young skill over experience any day in the NHL. On the other hand, but like I say, compared to the NBA, I'll take the Lakers over your beloved Thunderbolts. Wouldn't they have been better, too, if they had been named the Twisters, by the way? Isn't the Thunder the worst name? Wouldn't that be cool if they were the Oklahoma City Twisters?
I hate it, and I refuse to acknowledge it. Let's move to whatever the Western Conference is called. What's it called?
The Campbell Conference.
The Campbell Conference.
I have also called in the past, I may have even mentioned this to you before, wouldn't it be great, fine if we don't want to do the old thing, the Wales and Campbell, shouldn't it be the Lemieux Conference and the Gretzky Conference?
No.
Yes, and then we can have an Ord division for you. The Bruins
you're the only one. You're literally the only guy on the planet who thinks that Mario Lemieux should have a hockey conference named after him. I personally think they should have one named after Target and one named after Best Buy. Why not make money off it? Who cares? Who cares what a conference is named? And over in the Best Buy conference, listen, I moved here on October 16th, 2002. I moved to sunny Los Angeles, California. I have lived here for 7.5 years. There have been this will be the 8th hockey playoffs that I have been here. The LA Kings have never made the playoffs during that entire time.
Wait a second. Is that right? How long ago was that? They did have that one great run.
It was like the year before. Right? Or if they did, I don't remember it. They definitely haven't made it in the last 7. But I think it's been a drought. I don't think it's ever happened since I've been here.
It's such a weird, surreal scene. Yeah, I remember going to one of those playoff games when the Kings were on that run, and I was riding the coattails of your pal Kimmel, and so we went into that VIP suite underneath that didn't know existed. And I remember Kurt Russell and Goldie Hahn were down there, and Jerry Bruckheimer. It was very strange at a hockey game to be seeing people like that. But
I went to a game 2 weekends ago, and had the ice box seats. It's like right between the benches. It was crazy.
But, really?
Yeah, it was amazing. Was like two of the coolest. It was one of the coolest seats I've ever had for a sporting event. We had the guy with the mustache, as you call it, on the Ducks. He was like right next to us working the door.
Really? What do you mean?
Paros. George Paros. The guy with the mustache, the enforcer.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh guy, by the way.
I didn't realize that, you know, really, if you're not on one of those three lines and you're not you're not in the defenseman rotation, you're just kind of the enforcer that's going to get some shifts but not really play that much, your job is to handle the door for the guys on the line changes.
Yeah, if you're Georgie Paros, yeah, you might be summoned to go handle some fisticuffs, you know, for about 5 minutes, you know, and then go sit in the box for 5 minutes, and then that's it. Your night is done.
He got some shifts. He didn't get into a fight. And then he sat down in his seat and he played with the door for the rest of the thing. Hey, let me open that for you. That was his job.
It's cool. I'd love to sit down there once. I've sat on the glass. That's a mistake that people make, though. Here's Dave's tip for your audience. If you've never been to a game, baseball and hockey, you want to sit as close as possible. Baseball and basketball, you want to sit as close as possible.
I know what you're going to say.
Football and hockey, you want to sit further back.
You want
to
be like
follow. You can't really see what's happening in hockey if you're that close.
Had this conversation with somebody I was there with. We decided you want to be in the corners about 10 rows up.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely a spectacle to see the speed and those guys whizzing by. But about a period in, you can't you can't follow what's happening down in the corners and everything as well. So, yeah.
Hold on. We got 3 minutes left.
All right.
Kings Canucks.
That's my upset pick. I like them. Again, back to what I said earlier, I love the young skill on that team. And, again, philosophically, for the good of the sport, it would be great if the Kings, with all that young skill, could knock off the grind-it-out Canucks. And, they've got some of the best young defensemen in the game.
Grind it out. They have the Sedin twins. They have, like, 1,000 YouTube clips now.
Spooky. Yeah, I know, but it comes down to Luongo and, you know, him standing on his head. And they're not the future of the game the way the Kings potentially could be with with Andre Kopitar and Drew Doughty and Jack Johnson and so on. They're a loaded team, the Kings, and it would be fun if they would get. The one thing I will say, though, for the Kings is they need to go back to at least occasionally, now that we have alternate sweaters and uniforms, they need to sometimes skate out in the purple and gold, right?
I know. They're the unis that they wore the night I went to the game, I was really embarrassed for them.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Go back to the Gretzky ones. Everybody identifies with the Gretzky ones.
No.
You don't like
Gretzky,
those?
By the way.
You want to go back to the 80s, like Roger Vachon, that era.
At least on occasion, yes. Go back to Marcel Dion and Chaz Simmer and the rest.
Okay, all right.
Davey Taylor, But you mentioned Gretzky, and if we only now have 2 minutes, I would like to take a moment to say, oh, the great one. Isn't he something? Well, look, he goes into Phoenix, takes over the Coyotes, gets behind the bench there. A playoff team when he arrives, they don't make the playoffs his entire tenure there. He shames the organization or at least his wife does, with the gambling scandal. He leaves, and now they're back in the playoffs. How about that? The great one, everybody.
You're terrible.
Hey, listen, 66 Lemieux hoisted the cup up over his head as an owner. That's 3 times now.
You're a petty man. Sharks or Blackhawks?
The Blackhawks for sure. I mean, that is...
It's a great story.
What's that?
That's a great story. They were like left for dead 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's great. And yeah, once their owner died, it's grim to say, but once he died, that really cleared the way for them to sort of move into the 21st century. But... they are loaded. They're a ton of fun to watch. That's a team, definitely, if you're a hockey fan and want to see the sport go to a next level in popularity, you definitely want the Blackhawks to thrive. And you did your column, I guess it was after the Vikings lost, the most painful losses ever. I think to expand that, the most painful team to root for in sports, obviously, the Red Sox are the gold standard, or the opposite.
They were. Now it's
they're,
probably
the, yeah, the Brown standard, we can call
Browns,
it.
Browns, yeah.
The Red Sox no longer are, but I'll tell you, the Sharks may be it. That team every year. I mean, how invested could you get? I mean, aside from investing thousands and thousands of dollars for season tickets, they're always right in the mix for the top spot in that conference. And every year they just flame out. They just sort of go, and they don't even go deep. They just sort of fizzle out come playoff time. The Bach off between the pipes, your old pal Joe Thornton and company, they just don't show up in the playoffs. I'll take the Hawks and And so I'm going to say.
Oh, wait, the good news is that you at least get to live in San Jose. Oh, wait, that's terrible news.
What is? I've never been there. I always wonder. People included is the Sharks as a Bay Area team. I don't know if that counts.
I can't remember if Sacramento is the poor man San Jose or if San Jose is the poor man Sacramento. But either way, it's insulting to both parties.
Yeah. So let's say for the good of the sport, let's say Hawks and Caps. Obviously, I'll say the Hawks to win the Cup because I'd prefer to see that over Ovechkin and company hoisting.
But so Hawks, Penguins, or Hawks, Caps is ideal. Hawks, Sabres would be fun just because it's Buffalo and everybody remembers the goalie. That's not an awful series.
Yeah, but the best definitely the best you could do is Hawks. Forget about the Red Wings. People recognize the name and everything, and they have played well of late, but it's time for some new blood. Let's hit.
How about little Kings Capitals, West Coast, East Coast, maybe?
Well, yeah, good. I don't think the Kings are going that far, but that'd be a lot of fun. But
the other thing with the Caps, Obama goes to a Stanley Cup final game, right?
Oh yeah! Wow. Well, and maybe he takes a shot. He couldn't look any worse than he did throwing out that first pitch. What a shame. What a shocking disappointment, right?
He's wearing like a 40-pound bulletproof vest, though.
Well,
cut him some slack.
W was able to throw a strike.
Listen, that's the greatest moment of his presidency. We
know,
have to go.
That's not a good. Yeah, that's not good news. But, I was disappointed to see that out of Obama.
Come back during the NHL playoffs, and also a little plug for your podcast on the Adam Carolla Radio Network, Daves of Thunder, with your friend Feeney. My buddy Jeff Gallo really enjoys it.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's lots of fun. Yeah, me and Feeney, Daves of Thunder, AdamCarolla.com, and hit me up on Twitter if you wish. Damashek is the name.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, sports guy.
Hey, Bill. Just to put a bow on this one, looked up a couple things from the show.
Yeah.
The Raiders have the 8th pick in the NFL draft. And the L.A. Kings have not been to the playoffs since the 2001-2002 season.
Oh, should I mention that at the tail end?
We could do that.
Are you still recording?
Yeah. We just did it.
Oh, well, there you go. All right. One last thing on Friday. We have somebody coming on that I've always wanted to have come on. And I'm very excited about it. And that's all I'm going to say. Until then.
Target to set off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
With all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just breaking news. Subway now has breakfast. And unlike the competition, you can get it made just the way you want. Like the Subway Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Add jalapenos, banana peppers, tomatoes, or try Monterey Cheddar. Build your better breakfast at Subway. And after you build your better breakfast, grab your favorite $5 footlong to go. Made to your order all day, every day. Only at Subway.